Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:22 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 1st. Well, today has been a rather momentous day in the bond markets. U.S. Treasuries were weaker by almost 2.5 full points, so that's breaking to a new reaction low, and this has the hallmark of at a minimum, it's an extension of the 3-month downtrend, but it is in all likelihood a peak of at least medium-term significance was hit back in September, and indeed it's a lower rally high from the peak that was hit over a year ago. So the chances are that US Treasury yields have bottomed. They're up to 3% or just about in here today, and that's also the declining moving average. So the this is a rather important area, but the need for a safe haven has taken a bit of a hit in here today. And US Treasuries were probably the weakest of the sovereign bond markets, but there was weakness. The commonality across the sovereign bond sector was really quite remarkable. And you had gilts down by 1.25 points, you had bunds down by a full point. The Australian 10-year had a key reversal in here today. The Canadian bond extended its downtrend. And this also follows on the news that Jean-Claude Trichet was quoted as saying something along the lines of not to underestimate the Europeans' resolve in their aim to support the euro. And the dollar had become quite overbought relative to the euro in the short term. So the dollar was pretty much universally weaker in here today, and particularly against the euro, where it was down by 1.5, just over 1.5 cents. The pound was stronger by about 64 ticks, the Australian dollar by a full cent, a little bit less than that for the Canadian dollar. And with the US dollar weakness and at least a short-term, potentially medium-term peak having been hit by some of those Eurozone peripheral yields, with the Irish, Spanish, Italian bond yields pulling back rather sharply in here today, it encouraged risk-tolerant or people that are interested in so-called risk assets to get back into these markets. And starting out in Asia, the Indonesian market bounced back from yesterday's downward dynamic and probably almost completely countermanded it. What some of those smaller cap Asian markets have been the best performers in absolute terms this year, and they've lost momentum somewhat over the last month or two, and they'd come under a little bit of selling pressure earlier this week. Now they firmed in here today, but the sto I suppose the show was really stolen by larger cap Asian markets or Asian markets. So Taiwan today had a very firm day and actually broke out to a new recovery high. Singapore was also really quite firm in here today. Hong Kong also firmed at the lower side of its range, and the Chinese A-share market was a bit steadier in here today, but not in the same dynamic fashion as some of those other markets. The Indian market has also steadied, having almost unwound its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. This was also a pretty firm day for stock markets in Europe, with just about all of those markets in positive territory in here today. And the leaders in Europe, which are predominantly based in Northern Europe, the DAX was up 2.75%, the OMX in Sweden up almost 2.5%, but the Spanish market, which had become really quite oversold, was up by 4.44%. Moving into Latin America, Brazil was stronger by almost 2.5%. The Nasdaq, which is the US leader, was up by over 2%. The Dow Jones was stronger by 2.25%. The S&P up by over 2%. So this was really quite an emphatic bounce back. And particularly when one looks at the Dow and the S&P, they rallied impressively from their September lows. They went right up to test those April highs. They've been consolidating in that region for much of the last month, and it hasn't looked like anything other than that, just a consolidation in the region of the prior high and allowing some of that short-term overbought condition to be unwound. And Today's upward dynamic is supports that view. And if we don't see a breakout to new high ground for some of those large cap markets in Europe, in the I suppose in the better performing parts of Europe, so the in Germany, Sweden, Denmark, and the UK, and there is the strong likelihood we're going to see the Dow and the S&P breaking up to new recovery highs either before the end of this year or in the first quarter of next year. So that's helping to reaffirm what is a cyclical bull market. And commodities in particular had pulled back rather sharply. And of the commodities, we've had the agricultural commodities pull back sharply over the last 3 weeks, but they all found support in here today. And you had wheat, which was the early leader, rallying from the lower side of its range, up by almost 50 cents in here today. Corn was up by 22, soybeans up by 40, rough rice was also really quite strong. In the industrial metal complex, copper has rallied emphatically in here today. It's back up to 394, and that $4 area has provided an air, a region of resistance for the last 4 years. And what copper's been doing over the last month has been consolidating below the previous high, and it's held on to the vast majority of its gains. With today's action, it looks increasingly likely that copper is going to be able to sustain a move above the $4 region, and that's going to be into new high ground. Some of the weaker industrial metals, such as zinc and lead, have also rallied in here today. Precious metals were also firmer in here, particularly palladium, which was stronger by 31 cents. It's back above the $700 level now. Platinum was up by almost $20, coming back up towards that $1,700 level. Silver had been quite strong earlier on and held on to 27 cents of its gain and is pushing back up towards its highs. So we've had a sharp pullback in some of these precious metals, and gold was really quite steady in here today. It's pretty changing or finishing the day relatively unchanged, but all of these precious metals have held on to their quite elevated levels rather well over the last month, and are looking increasingly likely that they're going to be able to push on to new high ground without giving up very much of what had been an incredible advance. Now, instruments like silver and palladium remain really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, but they'd have to take out their recent lows now to question scope for some additional upside, and particularly so against the background of firm commodities pretty much across the board. The agriculturals have all firmed, cotton, which has pulled back remarkably sharply, has found at least short-term support in here and remains above that $1 level, which has been an area of resistance for a very long time previous to this breakout. The lumber price was stronger by $5 in here today. Sugar was up by almost a full cent in that U.S. traded contract. So the commodity sector is liking this little bit weaker dollar, but also the fact that these government bonds are falling, that is an indication that investors aren't ready to put their faith in government paper any longer, and that there's less of a need for a safe haven. And if there's less of a need for a safe haven, then there's a greater realization that apart from the slow growth environment that we have in the USA and in much of peripheral Europe, the rest of the world is doing fine. And I suppose the other big move today was in oil. Oil was stronger by almost $3 at one point and finished out the day up $2.68. So it's up to almost $87 in here. It's been consolidating very steadily above this $80 level, and it's been ranging for the better part of 14 months. And as we say at the chart seminar, well-defined lengthy consolidations are explosions waiting to happen. And there's no reason to believe that if oil can break out of this lengthy range, then it's going to be at $100 in a relatively short period of time. Surging oil prices would be a headwind to asset markets generally, particularly stock markets, and to economies generally. Now, $100 oil isn't necessarily surging oil prices, but with commodity prices pushing upwards and copper testing its highs, tin really quite close to its all-time high, cotton at really quite elevated levels, feeder cattle at elevated levels, and all of the grains at historically high levels, although they're well below their 2008 peaks, these are still high levels for food commodities. Well, anyone who says that there's no inflation in the system is clearly not looking for it. And that is likely to be a recurring theme over the next year and possibly 2 years, because commodity price inflation is likely to be a major theme in 2011, with so many of these commodities pushing on to test high historic highs and sustaining those elevated levels beyond the short term. That can't but begin to feed into consumer prices over time, and that's not a good environment in which to own bonds. The most likely scenario is that we're going to have some form of stagflation, in which case, again, that is not a good environment for bonds. And I anticipate being looking back 20 years from now at what was a remarkable shorting opportunity in US Treasuries and other sovereign debt, because just like at the top of every other bull market, supply has exploded at remarkably high levels for some of these debt instruments, and the chart action is now beginning to catch up with that prognosis. So, US Treasuries, although perhaps a little bit oversold in the very short term, remain in a medium-term downtrend, and there's the increasing likelihood that we're going to see stock markets reasserting their medium-term uptrends to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.